doing.
And not necessarily professional doctors?
Not necessarily. However, there are so few non-professionals around, and they're so harried and hassled most of the time.
Right. But as far as the experience and the training goes, it's pretty well closed to the one route of going to medical school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not sure that I want to go in. Is that AMA or just the area?
Well, I know specifically that's the area and that it happens in other parts of the country. And I don't know if it's, you know, it's not an AMA policy.
One thing that's very prevalent in hospital administrations is the doctor will say, yes, you can have natural childbirth, and yes, you can have it in the hospital, and yes, your husband can be present, and no, we won't put the stirrups on. And the minute you get there and you're under their power, it's either you do it our way or you leave. The women are constantly lied to as far as what they make their arrangements with the doctor, and either the doctor is not there at the time of their delivery or the hospital administration totally disregards their demands or their agreements with the doctor.
I really think that has an incredible effect on the baby, too, the way that child is delivered. I mean, if you're in a home environment with people around and really there's a lot of love and care for the child, I think it makes a really big difference in how the child grows up, as opposed to when, you know, they in the hospital, they whisk the baby away off to the nursery and you can wave to the baby through the mirror, you know, to the window, and here for like however many days the baby is alone, you know, this little thing. And I think it has a real effect. I think the birth process is really important for a child, even that young. And the fact that it's not with its mother right away, I think it's really detrimental.
Also, it's terribly difficult in the woman when she gets to delivery and she gets to the hospital, and instead of having the kind of delivery she wanted, she's tense, upset, and frustrated because the hospital administration and the doctor have thwarted her in everything she wanted. Though now, in most hospitals, they are a policy of keeping the woman as little time as possible in the hospital. They'll have her up and out in 2 days, if at all possible.
Well, hospitals are trying to become more efficient in the way they're run, and it becomes kind of a mill of women come in and hurry her along as much as possible, and little consideration given to whatever fears or frustrations that she may have about what she's going through. And plus the fact that a lot of hospitals are short-staffed, and nurses not being able to give enough time to console or help a woman through this. So she is left, in many cases, very much on her own, and sometimes told to hurry up because the doctor doesn't want to stay that long, or the whole thing of induced labor so that the doctor can get home for dinner on time.
Yeah, I really seriously believe that you know, that whole tender loving care aspect of it is really important. And I mean, that whole difference between nurse and doctor, and the nurse being the one who really takes care of the patient, and the doctor has his little technical skill, skips in, does his little job, and out he goes. And you know, I mean, if it wasn't for the role of the nurse, you know, a lot of people probably wouldn't make it through. And I think the medical profession really, well, they don't consider that to be as important, but somewhere they must, because they really put the nurses into that role, but they don't consider it that important because men don't do it. I'm not sure they're capable at times either.
It's hard to believe.
But you know, medicine lots of times is just really devoid from your emotions and your mind, and I just see the two of them so intricately involved with each other that there's no way to set them apart and put more importance on the technical knowledge.
How aware are the authorities in Connecticut of this group? Are they aware that they
exist?
Very
aware, because they are putting out their newsletter, they're putting out a lot of publications, and they're doing a lot of educational work.
As being quacks when they can't cure you. It's a cure ethic, you know.
Another thing they do, which we found with a lot of women who have come to the self-help group and tried to start other self-help groups, is that they're afraid of leaving the doctor that they have at the time, because they do so many workups on them, which cost an exorbitant amount of money, and they will not transfer their workups or their files to another doctor. So you start all over again. You pay another $150 for x-rays and workups and tests and things like that. Many doctors
really
do that, especially in this area.
The other thing is that if you go to a new doctor and says,
He says these records are inadequate.
Right. I want it all over again. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that I learned too. That when doctors, especially GPs, who are doing exams, they usually don't have no idea what they're feeling. They only feel something if something's wrong, but they can very rarely feel your ovaries or feel your tubes.
Unless you scream,
right?
Because it's very painful. Oh, there it is.
There it is, right?
I found
a dull ache when you go over your ovary. You know, that's how you can tell where it is. But that's what's so incredible about medicine. The more that I work with doctors, the more I realize how much they bluff. I mean, they really do. You know, they really don't know what they're talking about, and they'll never tell you that. Once in a while, somebody will tell you that, but usually it's just authoritarian air.
So they're trained from the time they enter med school on that they are God, they are right, and therefore they have to give definitive answers to everything, and they do, whether they're right or wrong.
It's the father figure all over again. You know, your doctor is your father.
And the sad thing is, after all these exposés they've written, like Intern and Hospital and Confessions of Dr. X, where he tells all these fantastically awful things that they have been doing, the experimentation they've done on patients, the way they've treated some patients, people still...
Well, there's no alternative.
They still treat the doctors with the same amount of respect. I mean, I go in with suspicion now.
Because it has... You know why, too? A lot of it is the way that you're brought up and your own conditioning. You still, no matter what they say, you still have that inside of you. Maybe not you. You don't. But, you know, a lot of women and a lot of people, just people in general, have that inside of them, that the doctor is the father, is going to protect them, take care of them. And people want that, you know.
Well,
and until they can get enough self-confidence in themselves to realize that they're really being fucked over, then... You know, they're going to perpetuate that.
We're a land of answers, too, and people have something wrong with them. They want and demand an answer, or they need that reassurance, and the doctor gives it to them. They look to that person to do that. And he just fulfills the role, or has been trained to fulfill that role.
By the way, the gynecologist who wrote that book, The Confessions of a Gynecologist, it works at GW. I forget what his name is, though.
I can't
And that involves doing lab work in a clinic so that we're all learning lab work, as well as learning to do those specific things.
Did you pap smears by staining slides?
We don't do the
ourselves. Public health does.
You send them to somebody else to read them, but you do the actual...
On slides.
We do the gonorrhea culture plate at the clinic. And the pap smears and VDRL, the blood test for syphilis, get sent out.
Who's doing this interview?
I don't know, but I think we should cut it off.
Sure. So who was the major enemy as far as this went? The Catholic Church, or and what country did it involve? Was it Europe, basically?
Well, in the 14th and 15th century, it was the Catholic Church, and it involved all of Europe, because the sects, Calvin didn't come along until later, neither did Luther. Almost all of the so-called civilized world was Catholic. So it was the Catholic Church.
I read somewhere that there was more money being spent by far on researching for scents for vaginal deodorants, is that what they call them?
Yeah.
Than birth control, which is enlightening. Are they using the simple?
They're using the simple equipment rather than a vacuum aspirator machine.
I think that what's happening at our clinic now is that
also doing pelvic exams after we had been doing them for about 3 weeks and nobody could find my uterus. I had to go back to my doctor for a checkup, and I had been very honest with her from the beginning that I was doing self-help, and she had been rather noncommittal about it, and she said, "It's probably a good idea." And I said that we were having this incredible problem because, like, I had about 6 or 7 pelvic examinations, and it was nowhere to be found. And she says, "Well, you know, I have only found your uterus once," and she's been in practice for 22 years, so I know it's the difficulty of doing a pelvic examination is something that most women don't understand, and that was a real down in our self-help group, that it was so tremendously difficult. And then when we talked to some of our doctors and realized that they have problems too, it became a lot better.
Called witches were. The women who were successful midwives were called witches. those who were unsuccessful at saving their patients were ignored. The other ones were burned at the stake. Once medicine became a profitable practice, then men took over. But until then, it was mainly women who were concerned with the so-called healing arts.
Were they fixing broken bones? Or are the myths true that they weren't, they were for shit?
They were using herbs, and they were using the basis of what we have as some curative drugs today. Well,
I'm not exactly certain where they stand at all.
And I don't think the medical cases are going to come about until it's linked up very strongly with feminist politics. If you were doing it without any feminist justification behind it, if you were doing it among a group of women who didn't have very much awareness of how this connected up with the rights, other rights that women should have and don't have, then you're not going to get much flack from the authorities. They'll just dismiss you as another fad that women are into this month, and next month they'll have a new fad. But once it's connected up with a complete ideology and a feminist perspective, where they're going out and saying, look, we're not taking this from the authorities, we're not paying doctors to do this when it's inadequate to our health, when they start boycotting doctors, that's when the AMA is going to strike back.
This program is produced by Radio Free Women in Washington, D.C. The show cannot be used without permission from Radio Free Women, Incorporated.